Apple, the cloud, tweet, Amazon, followers. See, there was a scientist doing a study the other day that says that language is changing. That language, the same language that we've used forever, is changing. When I said Apple, did you think about that iPhone in your pocket? That laptop? Did everybody check their phone after he said Apple? My phone, oh yes. iPad, Mac. Did you think about that? Or did you think about a sweet, juicy apple that's healthy, that God gave us to eat? The cloud. Did you think about a beautiful sky of clouds that the Lord has painted for us to view? Or did you think about that government sponsored thing that we put all our pictures and saved material into? Everything goes into the cloud. Nobody even knows what the cloud is. I don't even know what it is, but that's what we thought of when we said the cloud. Did we? Yes? Yeah? What about Amazon? Did you think of one of the most beautiful, wild places on the earth that's teeming with life, finding new species of insects and flowers and just beautiful? Or did you think of your Christmas shopping? Did you think of Amazon like, oh yeah, I could order that, or Amazon Prime, or maybe I could get that or order that? Which one did you think of whenever we said Amazon? Tweet. Did you think of a song, bird singing in the morning, waking you up, or did you think of some famous person saying something online? Followers. Did you think of Jesus Christ, followers, disciples of the living God, or did you think of how many followers I have or they have, or that's how we think? My son the other day had his tablet out, and he was playing a game, right? Has no access to the internet at all. Has no idea what is what of anything social media related, right? And he's just playing a game, and he turns and looks, and he sees his score that he scored on the game, and says, look how many followers I have, Dad. And I went, huh? What are you talking about? That's the score on... No, these are followers. People follow my game. Well, I freaked out. I was like, no, they don't. Let me check, make sure. But no, it was just a score of his game. But he had heard somebody talk about followers and having followers, and he wanted to have those. And now we had to have an immediate talk right then. It's like, you don't have any followers. You're not going to have any followers. The only thing follower-related is we're following Jesus. That's it. There's no followers. So if language is changing, and when we say Apple and Amazon and the cloud, and we don't think of what those originally were anymore, what happens now when someone says Jesus? Do they think of the Son of God who was tortured, beaten, gave his life willingly to die for them, the Savior of the universe? Is that what pops up in every believer and non-believer's mind when they hear Jesus? Or do they think of the church? Or do they think of judgmental people? Or do they think of Christian culture? Or do they think of us? A lot of times people will tell Paul and I, your church is so cool. You guys have a cool church. And we enjoy that, but there's a moment of, not really. We have a really cool God. We have a really cool God, and we just get to worship him. It has nothing to do with this church or nothing to do with anybody here. If when you say Jesus, immediately the picture of his face welcoming you into the kingdom of heaven is not the first thing that we think of, we've changed. We've done something wrong. We've missed something. Will you stand for the reading of God's word? I wanted us, if it's changing, I wanted to make sure that we were clear on something. And Paul made sure that we were clear. In 1 Corinthians 15. Now I want to make clear for you, brothers and sisters, the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand, and by which you are being saved, If you hold to the message I have preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Most of them are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one born at the wrong time, he also appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. In the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, yet not, but I, the grace of God that was with me, whether then it is or I, they, so we proclaim, and so you have believed. Can everyone say amen? Everybody sit down. Go ahead. He wanted to make clear, when people started saying Jesus, they started to doubt. They started to bring things up, and he just stopped the show. Hold on, hold on, hold on. I want to make this clear. The gospel that I have preached to you is that Jesus died, he was buried, he died for your sins, and that he rose and he appeared to all of us. This is the gospel by which we are saved. This is the gospel by which we are saved. And anymore, I want to make sure that we can do that for people outside of the church. I want to make sure that we can do that for people inside of the church. That if it ever gets to a point to where this church culture is just cool, that we stop and we go, whoa, 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 I want to be clear. I want to make something clear. It has nothing to do with me or this, but it only has to do with one thing. That Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose and appeared clear as day. I want to make this clear because we want to make sure that anymore an apple is just not enough. That word has more weight to it now. It's more. It means apple. I want, speaking of apple, I want that new iPad, or I want that Apple Watch. I want that new thing. Or Amazon, we start thinking of the things that we want from Amazon, right? Jesus is enough. He's enough. There's not anything more. There's not anything else that I want to ask or do. He's just enough. And when I hear the name Jesus, I want to be reminded he's enough. I want to be reminded that that's all I need. I want to be reminded every single day, and I want to remind everybody that I know that by how I live my life, the things that I say, what I post on social media, that Jesus is enough. So I ask you, church, is he enough? Is he enough? Is Jesus enough whenever you're going through a hard time in your marriage? Is Jesus enough when you lose your job? Is Jesus enough when you're sick? Is Jesus enough when you're broken down and you don't have anybody else? When you're in that darkness and you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, is he enough then? Because it moves to a different point. It moves to a point to whether or not we're using God or loving God. Because so often it's so easy to use God and forget about loving him. We use him more than we love him. And if we're using him more than we're loving him, then we're not having room for the blessings that come with loving him. So often we just use God. I go through the motions and I go through this thing. And whenever I hear the name Jesus, I think of, oh, I've got to be there at such and such o'clock for sidewalk. I hear Jesus, oh, I've got to be there at such and such time for VBS. And it becomes a habit and Jesus becomes something other than just enough. Just Jesus. Just enough. He's just enough without anything else. Just him. And so often we'll get to the point to where we start to use him. That we only call on him when we really need something. When we really, really need something. I had to stop doing that. My mom, I used to have such a great relationship with my mom. I mean, we were tight. I mean, we were so close. I would call her just to say, hey. And then as I got older, I started feeling myself only call her when I needed something. The person who I love on this earth, who gave me everything. I mean, she was everything to me. And I started to use her more than love her. And I missed out. I missed things. I missed moments. I would call and say, hey, can I do this, or can you do this, or can, and then it only got time to where I was just reaching out to her when I only needed her. And whenever she would reach out to me because of something she needed, I felt bad. Like, oh, I don't want to do that. And I got convicted over that. And it was awful. It was just like, what am I doing? What am I doing? I love my mom. I have to move into a moment to where I'm not needing her. I'm just loving her. I'm just loving her. And through grace and our relationship, we can love each other as opposed to what is obligated and what is needed. I don't want that relationship with our God. I don't want to only call my dad when I'm in trouble. I don't only want to call my dad when I'm sick. I don't only want to call my Father in heaven when I'm really, really needing something and I'm really, really desperate. I want the relationship with my Father to be enough, just as it is, just enough, just without anything else. I just want him and I together. Nothing else and nobody else. Nothing. 24 hours of worship is not enough. It's not enough. I pray that it doesn't end for any of us. And I pray that right now that if any of us think that it has to be here, that we realize that we can worship him every second of every day as we go through our lives. That the relationship that we have with Jesus is enough. It's enough. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I always think of Popeye when I read that part. I am what I am. But people have used that. People have used that so often where they go, I am what I am. God made me this way. I'm just, you know, it's just who I am. It's just how I am. And people use that statement as a defense or as an excuse to do other things. But we forget it's by the grace of God that I am what I am. But it's also by the grace of God that I don't have to be what I am. I can be what he is. I could be something different. And it's not because of me, but it's by the grace of God that I can be what he designed me to be. I can be. Not just I am what I am, but I am who he says I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. That hurt me. Reading over that again, because there were times in my life that I felt so down and so bad about who I was and what I had been through and what I had put people through that I felt guilty that I had grace at all, that I had grace. But I wanted to pray to God somewhere where it was wrong in my head. I don't know where I got mixed up, but I felt so bad. I wanted to pray to God and him say, that's right. I am mad at you. I am ashamed of you, because that's what I felt like I deserved. I felt like God should be mad. God should be ashamed of me. I don't deserve to have God's love. And if you've ever been mad, just if you've ever done something to somebody, you just want them to say, just be mad at me. Just it's so infuriating when you come to somebody and you apologize and you feel bad for something that you've done, and they look at you and they tell you, it's okay. It's okay. I love you. I love you. And it's okay, and I'm here for you. That is the most infuriating thing, because you don't feel like you deserve it. You don't feel like you just want to go, no, be mad at me. Throw something at me. Be mad. Because I can't take you being nice right now. I can't take you having grace for me, because I don't deserve it. And I felt that way for God. I felt that way, but where I felt like God should not have given me grace. But it says right here, his grace toward me was not in vain. And I want everybody to know that today. I want everybody to know that His grace toward you is not in vain. Your forgiveness, the grace that He's poured over you, is for a reason. That He loves you and He's proud of you. I love Paul. I love that he wants to make it clear. He breaks it down so clearly. It's like, look, okay, I'm preaching this gospel, but I don't ever want you to think that it's to get anything or to be anywhere. I just want you to understand that Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. I want this to be clear, brothers and sisters. I want this to be clear that Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose. And He's enough. Now, whenever we receive Christ, it's one of the most amazing moments in our lives. Everybody can remember when that happened, how it happened, and that moment where the Holy Spirit just flooded you. But whenever you've led someone to Christ for the first time, wow. Wow, that's a whole other thing. And if you've never had the opportunity to do it, please go searching for that opportunity. I was in high school and we took a mission trip to Mississippi. And we went with the youth group, and it was a program called World Changers. And we went, and these different places were set up so we could have teams and we could go and we could do construction for people who really needed it. And we got set up with this house, right? And when I got to this house, there was a hole in the ceiling about as big as this stage. I mean, it was huge. And they had it for months. Rain, shine, just giant hole in their ceiling. The paint had all come off the sides of the wall. We walked inside, and there was no floor. You had to walk from floor joist to floor joist. And that's how these two sisters lived. That's how they lived. And we asked them, you know, what color do you want us to paint your house? And they wanted it to be bubblegum pink. So we said, you got it. And we painted their house bubblegum pink. And we prepared their roof. And we prepared their floor. And they were just amazed. They were amazed. And I did nothing because I'm terrible at construction and carpentry. So I talked to them the whole time because, man, I can do that, blah, 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 blah. Easy. But I got to talking to one of the sisters, and they were very poor health. She didn't have all of her teeth, and we were talking, and she said, I love what you're doing with the house, but it's not enough. It's not enough. And for the first time in my life, I was like, okay, this is where I present the gospel and try to lead her to the Lord. And I said, I know what is enough. I said, Jesus is enough. And I want to lead you to the Lord. And I led this woman to the Lord. And as we were praying, and she was accepting Christ into her life and saving her, one of her teeth fell out while we were praying. And she saw it, was just like, whatever. I don't care. I don't care. She was so excited that she had just accepted the Lord that that's all that mattered. That's all that mattered. I had never seen anything like that. I had never seen anyone with so little and with so much to be upset about and so much to be depressed about and sad about and to be resentful and so much to have against the world that she was dancing. She began to dance and just be excited that she had accepted the Lord as her Savior, because to her in that moment, He was enough. He was enough. I don't need, forget the roof, forget the floor, forget my teeth. He's enough. He's enough. And it was one of the most beautiful moments of my life. One of the most beautiful moments, and I'll never, ever forget it. It was difficult. But I got to see God's glory make a physical transformation through her. And her eyes were different and her smile was different. And she had received the Holy Spirit. It was an amazing moment. It was amazing. And because he was enough. And so now I move in and I go on through my life and I keep remembering her, and there's times where I go, man, I don't want to go do that thing, and I realize and I get convicted. You have all the teeth in your head. You have a roof over your head. You have a floor. What are you complaining about? You know, someone asked me one time, is Jesus enough? I said, of course he is. And he said, okay. So if in this church right now, in this moment, Jesus showed up and he said, every one of us, there's a cross outside. There's a cross outside and it's for you. It's time for us to all go. Be crucified like me. Would you do it? Would you do it if the Savior of the universe said, you know what, I have a cross for you. Come on, outside. It's time to take our cross. And I had to go, that's really difficult. And he goes, I know. But is he enough? I had to say, yeah. Yes, he is. But man, oh man, does the flesh want to hold on to things of this world? Man, oh man, would I rather have Amazon and Apple and those things as opposed? No. No, Jesus is enough. No, Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough when I'm sick. Jesus is enough when I'm down. Jesus is enough when I have no other option or answer for what is happening. Jesus is enough because it's clear. It's clear, and let me tell you why it's clear. It's clear because Jesus died for my sins, buried, and rose. It didn't get any more clearer than that. So in this word association thing, whenever we bring up the name of Jesus in our lives, I don't want people to go, ah. Because I've had people talk. I've tried to talk to people, and I'll say, you know what? Well, but the Bible says, and he's like, ah, don't quote scripture to me. I don't want to hear it. I was like, ah, but you have to. Let me tell you about Jesus. That's the one thing I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear about Jesus. Something has happened. Not with the power of his name, but the recognition of his name throughout the world. Because the devil has blinded the minds of the unbelievers as to what and who he is. And it is up to us. It's up to us to change the narrative, to change the story, to not just be like every other Christian that ever was, not be like every other church that they've ever been to, not be like every other place or person that has let them down that said they believed in Jesus. It's up to us to not be us, but be Jesus. Because we can't show people who Jesus is if we don't know who he is. I'll go ahead and tell you right now, I cannot fix your car. Whatever's wrong with it. Whatever is wrong with it. I don't know. So I won't be able to explain to you what's wrong with it. Somebody told me one time, it's making a sound. And I felt really bad because they were really wanting me to help them. So I was like, well, that kind of sounds like your belt thing is off time. And the flux capacitor is moving. It might need to be bolted down again. That cost you about $400 probably. I had no clue. I couldn't explain to them what was wrong with their car because I didn't know. And I began to think about so many people, so many Christian Bible-believing people who want to explain Jesus to somebody that don't know him. That don't know him. You can't explain to someone, or you can't introduce to someone. You can't explain something or someone that you don't know. So, are we using him or are we loving him? Do we know about him or do we know him? Because we have to know who he is. Not know about him, Not be able to quote this front and back, but to be able to know him, have a personal relationship with him, to be able to explain to someone, look, this isn't what the Bible necessarily says, but this is who he is to me. And then when I look at this, it lines up with Scripture. It is. I'm right. This is who I know he is. And I have to explain to you who my God is, who my Savior is, because this is who I know. I know this person. I'm terrible with names. Somebody will tell me, you know that person, so-and-so. I don't know who you're talking about. I have no idea who you're speaking of. But if they say, Do you know Jesus? I say, man, yes, I do. Yes, I do. He is wonderful. He is enough. He is my Savior, my healer. He is my God. I'd love to talk. I can talk all day about him. I'll tell you everything that I know about him. But we have to know him. We have to know him and be able to be clear on our relationship with him. That way we can express him to other people. So that way the name of Jesus, whenever it's spoken, resonates as the Savior of the universe and never again is recognized with the church. Or Christian culture, or judgmental people, or hypocrites. People, I mean, that's the main thing. People say Jesus and they go, oh, hypocrites. Because that's what's been repeated. That's what's happened. That's the behavior that's happened. And people just repeat that and they assume that. But it's up to us to be the light in a dark world, to be his hands and feet, to love like Jesus, to be about his business, to be about our Father's business. It is up to us to change the narrative of who we know so much and love so dearly. It's up to us to change the power in the name through people, because there is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus, and we can speak Jesus over a situation. And the power will come in healing children. Healing children. Healing marriages. Healing relationships. Drawing people closer to them, but they have to know the real one. They have to know the real Jesus. We have to be telling people about the real Jesus and not the Jesus that they think they've heard of. That's not what we're talking. We're not talking about a hypocritical Jesus that judges you and is holier than. That's not what we're talking about. Jesus, who saved a broken sinner like me, who died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and then revealed himself and rose. That's the Jesus we're talking about. That's the Jesus I want you to know. That's the Jesus that we worship here. That's the Jesus that we dedicate 24 hours to. That's the Jesus that we don't dedicate just 24 hours to, but our entire lives. Our entire lives are based around what we can do for him. What can we do? What can I do? What can I do? God, we love you. We are affectionate for you, God. I want you to have my worship. I want you to, God, to have my affection. I want you to have every bit of who I am, God. I want to be poured out and emptied so that you can replace it with your Holy Spirit. I want it to be clear who Jesus is. I want to be able to explain who he is because I know him. And because I know him, I want you to know him. I want you to know him. So if today you've never met him, and you don't know him, it's not who someone has told you it is. It's not the stereotypes that you've ever heard. Jesus is not what you learned about him from the people who don't go to church. Jesus is who he is by the people who know him. Who know him. So, coming from someone who knows him, let me tell you this, that he loves you. That he's proud of you. That he died for you. If you were the only person to ever say, I want you to be my God, I want you to be my Savior, if you were the only one ever, he would have still died just for you. He died when you did that thing that you think should never be allowed to be forgiven. He knew about it and died for you anyway. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want it to be clear. As clear as Paul can make it. Will you? Is that Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose for you and for you, just for you, for the opportunity to hopefully get you home back to Him. That's all He ever wants is to be in relationship with you. He loves you. He loves you. Whether you think you know Him or not, He still loves you. He's not waiting to love you. He loves you now. He loves you right now. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to be everything for you. Not a moment or when we need Him or just try to use Him. He just wants your love. He just wants you to love Him because He loves you.